ask the folks who are in attendance to please step out while we consider executive session, and I don't believe there's any members of the media, but if they are present, they are allowed to attend the executive session, but are not allowed to report on anything that they hear.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, we'll get her on the line as soon as we. That's why we were trying to do it.
Yeah.
Right the back.
Perfect. She you're right on time. You're right on time.
Yes, you did.
We told her 9:30.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is that Lena Richardson going first or no?
No.
She's not?
Yes.
Is he here?
Dan, we'll proceed with Richard Vile first.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe just step okay. Up. Okay.
We'll get him on. We'll get her on the phone.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I am going to get Serena Hewitt on the phone.
Okay. No, I'll take care of the chair.
Okay.
He understands.
So
he can explain. Feel free to use my office.
Call
him. No point with the police. So rearranging the pictures on the wall. Does it work?
Where's the
pen?
It's
an adventure.
So is she not in on this meeting?
She also represents the Secretary of State's office, and so she's conflicted out, and so her supervisor.
Serena, this is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. I'm going to connect you into the conference call.
Excellent. Thank you.
Now ask.
Okay, who's on the phone?
This is Serena Hewitt. I'm attorney in charge of government services.
Thank you. I was checking to see if we have our commissioners on. Fiscom? Commissioner Fiscom?
It's red right now.
It's red right now. Okay, Commissioner Fiscom, are you there?
So who's there now?
Okay.
It's green light.
Is this just Serena on the phone? Commissioner Fiscom, you there? No, when I push the conference, it goes into the red.
No, maybe for the future, just use a standard conference bridge.
Yeah. Well, this should work.
Yeah.
Okay. Conference, I'm going to call... Okay, I'm going to conference you in. I'm going to try, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Dave and Serena. Dave and Serena, are you there?
This is Serena.
Dave?
Yes, Mr. Fiscom is on the line. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to try to get Carly back.
Senator Starr, does he make the bread or does your wife make the bread?
Mm-hmm. He makes the bread.
He makes the bread.
Yeah, you make your own bread, don't you? You make
this is Carly.
Okay, Carly, I'm going to try to connect you back in here. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Carly, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave?
Yes, Mr. Fiscom is here. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Hewitt, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. We have everyone on the line together now. Mr. Bile, thank you for joining us. All right, so for my fellow commissioners, our normal DOJ counsel, Ms. Alpaugh, was conflicted out because she also provides counsel to the Secretary of State's office. So for this one matter, we are having her supervisor, Ms. Hewitt, on the line to act as the commission's counsel for any legal questions that might come up during the course of this discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Burke.
I'm going to have to recuse myself from this issue, too, because I'm involved in an issue that's going to be before the Secretary of State's office that Richard Bile maybe has to weigh in on.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Commissioner Burke. We appreciate
it. Do I need to leave the room, or can I just be quiet?
I guess what I have to ask you is, are there decisions that Mr. Bile can make that would have a pecuniary benefit on yourself?
Possibly.
It sounds like it might be a potential conflict of interest, but it's up to you whether you...
Yeah, I think just to be safe, I'll just sit here and recuse myself on this case.
Okay.
I've known Richard from different political circles. It wouldn't make me in a different position, but just declaring that.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Thank you, Commissioner Mason. All right. Mr. Bile, we really do appreciate you joining us this morning. Just to clarify for you, this is simply a preliminary review, so we're not making any decisions today about whether there was any violation of any ethics laws. We're simply deciding whether to proceed on with a full investigation at this point. So we're going to hear first from our staff, who will go over the preliminary review report with us. Commissioners will have an opportunity to question staff. We'll then give you an opportunity to state anything for the record that you'd like to state. We may have some questions for you. And then we'll proceed on from there with the discussion amongst ourselves as to how to proceed. So, all right. With that, can we get staff report, please?
Chair Sosa, Commissioner Richard Bile, a practicing attorney and former legislator, became the Deputy Secretary of State on April 17th of 2019. His compensation package includes paid time off accrual for vacation time, sick time, and 24 hours per year of personal business leave. On May 16th of 2019, Mr. Bile represented personal clients in hearings to appeal Washington County land use decision. Mr. Vile's timesheet for that date does not reflect that he used personal time, either paid or unpaid, when representing his clients. The Oregonian and other media reported on this in November, and shortly thereafter the Commission received a complaint alleging improper use of official position and citing these media accounts. Mr. Bile did not know that he was to keep track of his time and states that he worked more than 8 hours for the Secretary of State's office on May 16th when he represented personal clients and believed he was in a salaried management position. The report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move to investigation. There's not much left to learn at this point, but in order to resolve the case through settlement, it would have to be moved into an investigation. And Serena Hewitt, Oregon Department of Justice, is acting as the commission's legal advisor, and she's on the phone.
Okay, yes, Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this question's for staff. It can either be fielded by legal counsel or Ms. Gould. Can you elaborate a little bit on the state employment policies for exempt employees with respect to timekeeping and when is an employee who's salaried required to use leave and when are they not? Your report touched on a little bit, but could you elaborate?
I would refer to our in-house executive management person, so I don't know that much at this point about it.
So it's kind of tough to tell because the Secretary of State's office is a, even though it's part of the executive branch, it is a separate elected office. Mm-hmm. And so they may or may not adopt DAS's policies. We, as an agency here, part of the executive branch, do adapt DASA's policies. And myself, as an executive official, I am required to be here during my work hours each day. Any time that I'm not here, I have to account for that with some type of time off, some type of paid time off. Either that be vacation, personal leave, or sick leave. If I don't have any of those in my accrual base left, then that is leave without pay. So, but again, I'd probably have to refer to Mr. Vial on asking whether the Secretary of State actually adopts DASA's policies. But me as an executive official, even though you know, I am salaried and I get paid that amount, I do have to account for that time. And so, in fact, I would argue that I'm less flexible than, say, my own employees here, because I actually allow the employees here to flex their time. So if they have a doctor's appointment, say in the morning, they can work a little bit later, take a shorter lunch, something like that, because I'm a firm believer in trying to get 8 hours, because we need it around here. We can. Myself, I'm not allowed that same flexibility. So if I have a doctor's appointment, I have to use the time that the state gives me for accrual. And for myself, they give me vacation, personal leave, and sick hours each month.
Any other questions from Ms. Gould? If not, I have one. So Ms. Gould, in looking at the attachment that we have on page 155, 156, at the top of page 156, it says that his core work schedule will be Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., or as otherwise negotiated and approved. So in your report on page 146, which is an excerpt from Mr. Biles' letter, he says that while our pre-employment conversations, he means with the Secretary of State, did not specifically include a discussion about wrapping up my law practice, we did discuss the fact that I had outside interests that may from time to time require me to attend to them during normal Monday through Friday 8 to 5 hours. It was expected that I would be engaged in working for the Secretary of State at least 40 hours a week unless other arrangements were made. So to me, I was curious about that because it almost sounds like during his interview there was at least some discussion that he might have to take some time out of his normal work hours, and then provided that he still worked at 40 hours, that would be fine. Were you able to, in the course of your investigation, and it's very limited, but were you able to engage with the Secretary of State's office to determine whether that was, in a sense, negotiated and approved at the time he was hired?
No, other than the... then his assertion and the offer letter, that's all at this stage, preliminary review stage that I got to. So.
Right. Thank you. All right, does anybody have no other questions for staff? All right, Mr. Vial, would you like to say anything?
Chair Sosa, members of the commission, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I sincerely regret that you're using state resources and time to deal with this issue as a result of my conduct. I also, frankly, regret my somewhat flippant remarks to the Oregonian reporter when he called me, I happened to be on vacation at the time, to tell me that he was about to publish an article and did I have any comment when I said, well, I work 24/7. That's a flippant remark that I wish I had not made. Having said that, I believe in your materials, my statement includes quotes from our HR director regarding this matter. I did, in fact, have an extensive conversation with both the secretary and particularly with HR, because I was concerned that there would be times during the normal 8 to 5 that I would be working on other matters. Not a lot. I had begun to wind down my law practice in 2017 when I was first elected to the legislature. It was mostly wound down by 2019. But I had a couple of clients left, a few clients left. One in particular already had a hearing scheduled approximately a month after my engagement as the Deputy Secretary of State. The other issue, frankly, and I will say that I don't know what more an investigation would show here. I agree with Ms. Gold that I think you know the facts, and it's unlikely that there's nothing I can think of that would make a difference here, other than this one thing. In addition to the law practice, our family provides table grapes to all of the Portland area school districts, the metro area school districts. And my job is delivery. I'm the guy that puts them in the truck and takes them to the docks at the various schools early in the mornings during September when our grapes are sold to the schools. I had a very specific conversation with the secretary about the fact that there would likely be, on occasion, times when I may not come in until mid-morning because of the time that it took, particularly to fight through traffic in Portland to get grapes to the dock. So I had a very specific conversation about that. And at that time, both with the secretary and with HR, it was understood that I would be expected to work a 40-hour week, and that if I did not work a 40-hour week, I should inform HR so that it could be reflected in my pay. I didn't know about timesheets. I didn't know that someone submitted a timesheet that said 8 hours a day at the time I was engaged. I actually didn't know about that until the newspaper reporter broke the story. Had I known, I don't know that I would have done anything different, but perhaps I would have. And for the record, I have instructed HR today to mark 4 hours of vacation time so that I could attend this hearing. But I didn't know at the time. After the story broke, I went to HR and said, do I need to go back and change a timesheet? And it was many months later, I would have needed to make an adjustment on my next paycheck to reflect that. Or maybe not. If I used vacation time or personal time, it would just be a dock on those credited hours. I was specifically told by HR, no, you do not need to do that unless you did not work 40 hours that week. I went back to my notes. We were in the middle of session. I was at that time reviewing a number of audits and reports with respect to our elections division. I know for a fact that I worked many more than 40 hours during the week that I also appeared at this hearing in Washington County. I don't know for a fact that I worked more than 8 hours that particular day, but I believe I did. I know that I was still working that evening in reviewing reports for the next day at the Secretary of State's office. I believe that we need to be serious about our treatment of particularly public officials in a position such as I currently hold. And I absolutely support the idea that this kind of issue needs to be made very, very clear. I would ask you, however, to recognize that in this case, I really did not violate any ethical rule by using Secretary of State time or money to perform services for my individual clients. The clients were, after that hearing, successfully transferred to another attorney who handled subsequent matters, including subsequent appeals for them. I did not do any further work for them after that. I just simply was not able to transition them by the time of that first hearing a month after I was hired. I am happy if it were the decision of this board to reimburse the Secretary of State's office for the time I spent. or to dock me further vacation hours or personal time leave. I'm happy to accept any judgment that this commission might render because I think it is an important function that you serve. And I'm happy to answer any further questions that you might have about the assertions made here or anything related thereto.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any questions?
Yes, Chair.
So just so I understand it right, Mr. Vile, that you take the job in April, the case is in May, you didn't get the clients in May or due to your position. It literally is just because, you know, the complaint is just because of the time that was spent, you know, at the court that you didn't put in a vacation request or whichever. I guess, you know, as a manager, I know sometimes, you know, employees miss a vacation day or go, yeah, I was busy and I didn't put that in or whichever. But this doesn't, I guess, it just doesn't come to my understanding that this is an ethics complaint issue. It's more of like a administrative, you know, issue. And so, you know, because I do have those facts right. I mean, you didn't get the clients after you became Deputy Secretary of State.
No. Commissioner Mason, I represented these clients long before I was even in the legislature, certainly long before I accepted the position as Deputy Secretary of State.
And it was 1 month, roughly, give or take, since you from the time you took the position to when this took place.
I was initially hired by Secretary Clarno on the 17th of April. I began serving a couple of days later. This occurred on May 16th, so it was slightly less than a month later.
So you're probably still trying to get used to what, you know, just learning what your job was, I'm assuming, you know, in the first 30 days of just the processes.
As I said, I certainly did not understand everything about my employment process. And not to try and make excuses, I've been the sheriff most of my life. This is the first time I've been a deputy. I'm still trying to figure out how to be a good deputy. So there is that, and that was certainly the case at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Chair. So thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Well, this is a preliminary hearing to decide whether or not to proceed with an investigation. I can't help but ask a couple of factual clarifying questions, if you don't mind. So I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Ms. Gould, which is, can you elaborate a little bit on the personnel policies as an exempt salaried employee? What are the hours expectations? What's the time tracking expectations? Because if there's a, I won't say troubling, but the crux of this case in my mind is this intersection between how a public employee spends their time outside of work. And when it's an hourly employee, I think that the rules are pretty clearly defined, and we know what the average, you know, what the defined work week is. But for a salaried employee, it seems a lot more murky to me. So I'm hoping you might be able to help clarify a little bit.
I don't know of a specific policy in writing other than the responsibility that we would provide a 40-hour work week of some kind. I will tell you that my responsibilities as Deputy Secretary of State include working with the directors of each of our divisions. Those divisions are highly responsible, or those directors have highly responsible positions. The Director of Elections, the Director of Audits, the Director of Corporations, the Director of IT, the Director of Human Relations. In each of those positions, I can tell you that I am the boss. They come to me, and it is a process where they simply either call or email me and say, I'm not going to be in tomorrow morning, but I am anticipating working through 9 o'clock tomorrow evening because of the meeting that I have. That is a given. It's an automatic. There's no question typically asked beyond that. And particularly during the legislative session, when those directors are constantly being called upon, as am I, to respond to fiscal impact statements or new reports that have come out regarding an elections law proposal. Often those things keep us there very, very late, as they did during that period of time. We are absolutely driven to make sure that we do not take unfair advantage of the fact that our employees are expected to work those extra hours, and I believe I'm treated the same. I certainly know that the secretary has many times said to me, Rich, why don't you come in late? Now, I rarely do that, but that often happens at the end of a long evening at a meeting in downtown Portland or something like that. So I believe that her vision on this is the same. I do not technically have any reporting to her for my hours. I'm simply told, if you're going to take a vacation, let HR know so that that can be reflected on your records with DHS or DAS, excuse me, not DHS, DAS.
Any other questions? Yeah, I have one. Mr. Vile, when you were discussing at the time of your hire with the secretary about this possibility that you'd be wrapping up things, you might not be there Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 on every day, was there any objection raised by the secretary?
Absolutely not. No. Now, I will tell you that I actually had this conversation with the secretary after the story broke. I said, Madam Secretary, do you recall if I told you about this hearing? She said, I don't remember. But I do know that we talked about the fact that you would have times when you were out of the office during normal business hours. And I do know that she and I talked about that day being one of those times. She didn't happen to be in the office during that period of time either, so it was not of a concern to her.
All right, any further questions? All right, I'll open up to discussion.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it just seems that this is not an ethics complaint issue, that this is just an administrative issue that needs to be dismissed. And I would make a motion to dismiss it.
Okay. Motion to dismiss has been made. Any discussion on the motion? Yes, Commissioner Dunn.
Okay. I'll defer to you, Senator. Sorry.
Commissioner Starr.
I agree with the motion. I think we should dispose of this matter right now.
Okay, Commissioner Dunn.
This is Commissioner Edwards. I would benefit from hearing from Commissioner Keene just your opinion. I know you have vast experience in the public sector, and it would be helpful for me to hear your thoughts while we're deliberating.
Commissioner Edwards, alas, we are deprived of our learned colleague's view because she is out sick today.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that would be on the record that I asked.
But I'm sure she appreciates it. Commissioner O'Day.
Thanks. So I agree on the merits, and that's where my gut takes me. The challenge I have here is my questions have alluded. I do think this is an area in which we need to have some clarity for public officials who are exempt employees as to what the expectations are when they're engaging in other for-profit type activities during traditional work hours. Now, I know what I think that answer should be, but I feel like if not through this case, then through a commission's opinion, an opinion that we direct staff to prepare for our adoption, I do think that this is an issue that we need to provide some clarity on. So I'm willing to support your motion in the when we get to an open meeting, that we take up that issue of giving some guidance on this issue. I agree with Mr. Vile. This is very important. That we have some clarity here, I think it would benefit the state. If not through the ultimate disposition of this case, then at least through a commission's own opinion on the matter.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Day. I think for myself, I go back to the language of it, his hours being Monday through Friday, unless otherwise negotiated and approved. It certainly sounds to me like it was negotiated and approved by his superior at the time of his hire. I'm very sympathetic to him going from a private law practice to transitioning to a new position and needing to wrap those things up, particularly if you've been counsel for a client for quite some time. So I'm very sympathetic to that. I understand that there was certainly no malicious intent on his part, and it sounds to me, as Commissioner Mason pointed out, that there really is not clear guidance from Human Resources as to how to document it when someone is a salaried employee, and it seems to be more of a just an approval by your supervisor, which I think in this case he had obtained. So for that reason, I'll be supporting the motion as well. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please. And the motion is to not proceed. I'm sorry, a motion dismiss, rather. Motion dismiss.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sorsoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Abstain.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
And Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0 with one abstention.
Thank you, Ms. Bell.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you being here.
And Commissioner Burke, let me know how I can make sure that we don't get sideways on any Secretary of State matter.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
All right. So we'll do number 29 now.
Okay.
Lena Richardson.
I'm fine. I was going to be all over the place.
Fine. Dance around.
I just thought the people that are here.
No, yeah, we'll get them on their way. That's fine.
Which number?
29. Mm-hmm. Executive session.
I didn't hear Serena hang up.
Hewitt, are you still online?
Yes.
Okay. I think we are good. That matter has been wrapped up, so we'll bring Ms. Alpaw back in now. Thank you very much for your time.
Excellent. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
It's kind of unique to have Amy have to leave.
I think, like I said, it's just, you know, we don't have any attorney we got from DOJ wouldn't be exclusive to the commission. We're just not a big enough agency for that. So, mm-hmm. You know, there can be times when they also represent other agencies, and so they just feel conflicted out. And so she had a boss step in. So. You know, sometimes I feel like we take up an awful lot of her time. I see the bill every month. I don't think it's still enough time for a full-time attorney. So.
Okay. Ms. Richardson, thank you very much for joining us. We are a matter 29 on our executive session calendar. Just for your understanding, we are today not considering whether there was any sort of ethics violation. We're simply considering whether to move forward with a full investigation, because at this point there's only been a very brief preliminary review. So we're going to hear a report from staff about the report. We may have some questions for staff. You'll then have an opportunity to say anything you'd like to add. We may have some questions for you, and then we will discuss amongst ourselves proceeding. Okay. All right, staff report, please.
Thank you. Chair Sosa, Commissioners, my name is Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Government Ethics Commission. Before you at item 29, page 121 in the executive session section of your manual is the case of Lena Richardson. Lena Richardson is the mayor of the city of Shady Cove. There was a complaint filed by a city councilor alleging that Ms. Richardson may have used her position to avoid financial detriment by using the services of various city officials. The officials named were the city administrator, the city attorney, a city planner, to investigate a situation involving a neighbor who was applying water lines across property, easement property owned in part by the mayor and the mayor's son and daughter-in-law, as well as other people who were part of that ownership of the easement. It appears there's cause to believe that one or more violations of the Oregon government ethics law may have occurred. The report is in your meeting book, but a recommendation to move to investigation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for staff? Ms. Richardson, anything you'd like to add?
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to speak this morning and considering my case earlier on the agenda so that I can make it back to Shady Cove, where the snow supposedly starts and passes. On July 29th, I noticed right below my house that a neighbor was installing a water line from the river, and I knew that a riparian permit was required because I was on the Planning Commission when that riparian ordinance was written and adopted in 2016. I didn't know if a water line could be built on commonly owned property by a property owners association without a permit. So I had highly credible reason to believe that a permit had not even been applied for because there had been no request for easement. So as a first thing I did, and as my email indicated, I first went to the planning clerk and asked if what permits were required for that kind of work. The person doing the work owns a backhoe service and had a large backhoe down there working on it at the time. And since the planning clerk had some health issues, she wasn't in the office and I did not know when she was going to get back. So I sent an email to the city administrator. What I expected at the time was that a code enforcement officer would come out and look and tell the person whether or not the people whether or not they needed permits. What happened is that the city administrator contacted the planner, who seemed to do much more extensive research than I had expected, but I think that was probably because he had been our contract planner since about May and wanted to maybe educate himself before he answered the question. And in Thomas Corrigan's affidavit, he does state that he handled this inquiry as he would an inquiry from any other citizen, regardless of their position in the city. And I have since seen that type of treatment of issues and since then. So, in my email, I disclosed my family's and my association with the property, made it clear that I lived there and that I had an interest, my family had an interest in the outcome. And in the preliminary report, there was a question regarding my use of city email. And our city hall was, Shady Cove is a very small town on the Rogue River, and we do not have an office for the mayor and city hall. So except for meetings, I work from my personal laptop at home. And I usually have my personal email and my city email up at the same time. I didn't carefully deliberate which email I was using. I just sent an email to the city administrator asking about permits required to put a water line, install a water line from the river to someone's home across commonly owned property. And those essentially were my motives.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Richardson. We appreciate you being here. And any questions? Okay. I'll open it up for discussion. Yes, Commissioner Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I might, just a quick question for staff. So in the report, it alleges that the mayor used the personal services of the city attorney. Can you elaborate? Can you help connect the facts in that you found thus far to that statement for me?
Of course. Again, given the confines of the 30 days, I don't have
sure.
as much information as I would like, but the... the emails that were sent, again, from Ms. Richardson's account as mayor, were directed originally, I believe, to Thomas Corrigan and to a city clerk. At some point, the city attorney was contacted, I believe, by the administrator. The city attorney responded to Ms. Richardson, who replied to him. So really, that was the involvement there, was that she replied to information that he was requesting from her as a result of her original contact with the city administrator. So
the mayor didn't directly contact the city attorney. Instead, it was the administrator who contacted the attorney and then shared the attorney's response with the mayor?
I can only say that at this point that's the information I have, although I do need to add that one of the facts that was concerning in reviewing this was that her initial inquiry indicated that she wanted someone to look into this without naming specifically who that might be. The fact that it was the city attorney, among others, who did respond to that indicate that that was the information or the assistance, if you will, that perhaps the mayor was seeking, and again would be more fleshed out if there were an investigation.
The email exchanges that you're referring to, how did the mayor sign the email? I could appreciate that from her city account, but we heard the mayor explain, well, you know, sometimes I get the two accounts confused.
Just 1 minute. So, as I recall, and I want to make sure I'm not being correct here, most of the emails are not signed officially as mayor. What does exist are the email headings lrichardson@shadycove.org, which again is the mayor's email address. But to answer your question specifically, I have not found in my 30-day investigation or preliminary report preparation that she ever signed it, Mayor Richardson.
Okay. But for the fact that she used the mayor's account, what objections would you have if she had used her personal account?
There would still be the concern that one of the questions was, well, first of all, you have to consider who these were directed to. These weren't just directed to people in the town or to the neighbor themselves who was laying the pipe. It was directed to the city administrator. At least one of the emails indicated, can you get someone out to check this out, which, again, was directed to the city administrator, Tom Corrigan. So even if this hadn't been sent from the official mayoral, if you will, email account, there would still be that implication, again, that needs to be further explored as to whether or not this is being directed to Mr. Corrigan on behalf of the mayor or on behalf of a private citizen of Shady Cove. As she pointed out, it is a very small town, and I believe everyone knew the mayor was Nina Richardson.
Yes.
If I was just a private citizen and I was in a similar situation, I might use the exact same language. You know, going to, you know, I would find out who to write to, and then I would say, get somebody out here. Check this out. And I think I understand what you're saying, is you're saying she's like an authority saying, get someone out here. As opposed to a citizen would be like, get someone out here. But I think that's not very strong.
There is one, and that's an excellent point, and that is something that I certainly considered. We did attach the response that came through council that basically said just that this is the way these things are handled in a small town such as Shady Cove. I don't think that I mentioned one of the other avenues we'd be investigating as to whether or not there was a conflict and whether or not the ownership of that easement property was properly raised. And I think I might have failed to mention that in my synopsis. But again, that would also be something that would be worthy of further investigation in the commission staff's purview, given that we don't know whether or not that conflict was properly addressed, given that there was ownership interest in the property that was at the very heart of it.
Yes, Ms. Alpha.
I just wanted to explain why I signed this. I think the commission has in the past many times drawn a distinction when a person uses their official email account, even though it might be very unintentional and not really thinking about it. That account is an official account, And public officials have to be really careful about drawing the line between when they're, because of the authority they have, to make it really clear that they're acting as a private citizen and making the request. And I think coming from her official email, it appears that she is acting as the mayor, not as a private citizen. I mean, this is a matter of education, I believe, but I think that that's where the commission has come down for.
Mr. Mason, Mr. Burke.
Was the city councilor that submitted the complaint like on the emails? Is that how you got, this turned into an actual ethics complaint?
No, she requested the emails and received them as part of her record.
First of all, I'd like to compliment our investigator. You're very thorough in looking at various lines that probably need to be looked at. One thing that struck me is that the mayor's account or the domain used by the city is not a .gov, it's a .org. And that can be confusing in and of itself, because government accounts, including the ones that we have, Ethics Commission, end in .gov to indicate it's a government account. .org is typically used for nonprofit groups and things like that, such as Western European Network.org that I work for. This, combined with the fact that she did not sign her letters as mayor of the city, I think makes this extremely nebulous. And while I think, it cocks an eyebrow that it came from the city's account, to me this isn't compelling enough to warrant going further.
Okay. Executive Director Burson.
Yeah, I think I just want to say, kind of like Ms. Alpaugh said, why I signed this. And it isn't just the initial, hey, somebody's putting a line across, get somebody out here, take a look at this. She was actually given an answer that there was a permit for those lines, and there was actually a request that those permits should be rescinded. Mm-hmm. And so, and also a question about how the lines are covered. So it wasn't just asking the city, which I think every citizen has the right to ask the city questions that they see in their neighborhoods about building, is this permitted, is that permitted? I think that's a reasonable question to ask. But actually, once you got the answer, it's like, well, okay, they have a permit, but not, can that be rescinded? And a mayor of a town asking people, these kind of questions, they are their ultimate boss in that city government, the city administrator. And so that's why I did it. I thought it went past just the initial thing. I see something out my window. Is this something that's permitted? Can you answer that question? To actually getting involved that it was permitted, and I getting involved in trying to eliminate those permits. Mm-hmm. So, and that was spelled out on page 123 in the second paragraph. So, That's why my initials are also on this to move forward. Like I said, I don't have all the answers for you. Again, I always make that excuse of the 30 days. I'm not sure how that serves the public or the mayor as well as it maybe should. But that's why I think that the chair here at each case tries to tell the folks that we're not here to make a determination today. I'm just asking you folks, do you want me to look at this a little bit further to answer some of these questions? So, and that's why I signed off on it.
Commissioner Beth.
Thank you. So to speak to Commissioner Burke's point, I can tell you it's quite common, particularly in smaller communities, for it to be a .org ending on the email. My own email for my employment with a public agency ends in .org. So I appreciate your point, and to the outside that may seem somewhat persuasive, but I think that in itself doesn't mitigate for me the way that it might have for you. Mm-hmm. The bigger issue for me is this one that it comes up quite a bit, particularly in small towns, where you've got a member of an elected body who's been serving for some time. You begin to understand how cities operate. With that knowledge, sometimes you use that for the benefit of making public policy decisions, and sometimes you make that use that information for your own benefit in trying to resolve an issue that you might have yourself. And it's particularly difficult when the moment comes when you are having to decide those issues relating to yourself and you're still serving in that public agency. I think that's the situation that we have here. I agree with Ms. Alpa that, you know, I think some education is probably the right answer here, in being mindful of, you know, use of an email address that is tied to a particular office versus using your personal email address. Especially when a city like Shady Cove, and good for them to create, like this commission, two separate emails so that public officials can keep their private affairs separate from their public affairs. Although you know the mayor didn't sign it, mayor, it did come from a public account. I for one, am comfortable with this moving forward to an investigation, but I do think education is probably the right outcome here. So with that, I would move that the commission authorize staff to investigate possible violations of ORS 244-040 sub 1 and 244-120 sub 2 in the matter of Mayor Nina Richardson of Shady Cove.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Piskum. This is a good time for a quick comment.
Yes, Commissioner Piskum, go ahead.
I want to associate myself mostly, if not totally, with Mr. O'Day's remarks of a moment ago. I will just add that the example before us strikes me as a case where I wish we as a commission had the freedom, if you choose to exercise it or not, but had the freedom to move immediately to some kind of a resolution of the issue without moving to conduct an investigation. I understand we don't now have such freedom, for example, to issue right now a letter of education pointing out the issues that Mr. O'Day raised about use of email and et cetera. I wish we had that freedom. Since we don't, I'm prepared to, with a few misgivings, support Mr. O'Day's motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
May I make a comment?
At this point, it's okay. Discussion on the motion unless the commissioners. I would just say that I do want to echo something Ms. Alpa said, which I can think of two or three examples that we've had in the past where someone has used an official email address, and we have found that to exercise far more influence over the person that's receiving it than just your standard citizen. When it's, you know, whether it be a mayor, a county commissioner, someone in a position of authority to say, hey, look into this, I want you to do this. And so I think that that is a very delicate line that we need to be mindful of, and I would be supporting the motion as well. All right, any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Can you repeat what the motion on the table is now?
Yes, the motion is to proceed with a full investigation.
Thank you. Aye.
Commissioner Piskum?
Mr. Piskum votes aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Ms. Richardson. Staff will be in touch. All right. I think this would be a good time for us to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll reconvene. Okay, back into executive session. We will proceed on with item number 40, Bill Swanson. Can we get the staff report on this, please?
One moment. Oh, here it is. It's right in front of me. Chair Sosa, commissioners, again, my name is Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Government Ethics Commission. Before you, in your meeting book, item 30, page 133 in the executive session portion is the matter regarding Bill Swanson. Bill Swanson is the board chair of the Fall River Estates Special Road District. A complaint filed by the head of the Fall River Estates Homeowners Association alleges that Mr. Swanson used his position to obtain a financial gain by giving Mr. Swanson's wife, a woman named Alice Carey Swanson, the Fall River Estates Special Road District website and domain name by way of a resolution that was passed by the Special Road District in October of 2019. Information available to staff indicates that the website and domain name were purchased by Alice Carey Swanson in June of 2019 and that she maintains the website posting notices and minutes of the Special Roads District on a volunteer basis. It appears there's no cause to believe that any violation of the Oregon government ethics law has occurred. The report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to dismiss the complaint.
Okay, very good. And my apologies, Commissioner Fisco, Commissioner Edwards, you still with us?
Yes.
Yes, Mr.
Fiskum
is here. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Commissioner O'Day.
With my colleague's concurrence, I'd like to move staff recommendation that we move to dismiss the complaint.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Fortune?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Item number 32, Joseph McHaney. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Investigator Myers. Item 32 in your meeting books is a preliminary review report for Joseph McHaney. At its last meeting, the Commission opened this matter on its own motion, based on a news report that Mr. McHaney, the former director of the Madras Aquatic Center Recreational District, had pleaded no contest to first-degree theft, computer crime, and official misconduct. In that plea, Mr. McHaney was sentenced to 30 days incarceration, 2 years supervised probation, and ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $7,353. Mr. McHaney's attorney, David Allen, provided a response and a copy of his sentencing memorandum, both that are included with the preliminary review report. The alleged thefts were apparently related to the district's practice of voiding cash transactions in order to keep those transactions off the books and thus avoid paying processing fees to a financial software company. Mr. Allen stresses that he believes the state's case had problems and asserts that Mr. McHaney pleaded no contest only because the cost of mounting this defense was prohibitive. There appears to be a substantial basis, objective basis, to believe that Mr. McHaney may have violated ORS 244.040. We are recommending that the Commission move this matter to investigation.
Thank you, Ms. Horne. Any questions or discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
Yes, Commissioner. Move to investigate.
Okay. So moved to move forward with a full investigation. Any discussion on that? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Fortune?
Aye.
And Chair Sofa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Item number 33, Jennifer Goels?
I think it's Gelsey.
Gelsey?
Gelsey.
Thank you. Yes, staff report, please.
Thank you. Then Chair Sosa, Commissioners, this is the case of the matter of Jennifer Gelsey. Ms. Gelsey was a former Jefferson County Sheriff's Office records clerk, and there is a pending criminal matter that will be, I'll be asking for this matter to be suspended when we move to regular session, should this be moved to investigation. This preliminary review was opened by the Commission on its own motion at the last meeting, November 22, 2019. Jennifer Gelsey, as I've stated, was the records clerk of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office and a public official. A news article posted in October 2019 by the Bend Bulletin stated that Ms. Gelsey was indicted on 15 felony counts of first-degree theft and 3 counts of second-degree theft. She is alleged to have stolen more than $15,000 starting in October 2016. I do need to point out that the thefts occurred as a result of her position with the union. She was an officer in the sheriff's union in Jefferson County. She obtained that job through her employment as the records clerk of Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, and that is one of the points, should we proceed to investigation, that we would need to explore further to determine that connection. Her next court date is a pretrial conference on January 30th, 2020. She is currently represented by attorney Jennifer Kimball. It appears there is cause to believe that one or more violations of the Oregon government ethics laws may have occurred. The report's in your meeting book with a recommendation to move it to investigation. As noted, if the commission does move this matter to investigation, it's requested that you all suspend the investigation period until the criminal matter is resolved. And an agenda item, number 25, page 107 in open session, addresses that issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Kristen, any questions or discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
Yes,
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt staff recommendation in this matter.
Okay. So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Burke.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 34, Jan Sutherman. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Sosa, Commissioners. Before you is the matter of Jan Sutherland. She was a prior administrator of the Washington County Justice Court. Preliminary review was opened by the Commission on its own motion at the meeting on November 22, 2019. Jan Sutherland was a Washington County Justice Court administrator and a public official. A news article posted in October of 2019 in the Oregonian stated that Ms. Sutherland had been indicted on 17 felony counts of aggravated theft and 13 misdemeanor counts of official misconduct based on thefts that occurred through her position as Washington County Justice Court Administrator. The thefts are alleged to have occurred between January 2017 and February 2019 and amounted to more than $170,000 all told. Her next court date is a pretrial conference on March 27, 2020, and a trial is currently set for April 7, 2020 in Washington County. It appears there's cause to believe one or more violations of Oregon government ethics law may have occurred. The report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move to investigation. And again, if the commission were to move this matter to investigation, it would be requested that they also suspend, that you all also suspend the investigation period until the criminal matter is resolved. And agenda item number 26, page 109 in open session addresses that issue as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions or discussion? I'll entertain a motion. Yes, Commissioner Mason.
Move to accept staff recommendation to investigate.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sorton.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, so Gab was out of executive session.